So
for some reason, I got two of mine. None of anybody else's.
Oh, not everybody got all their names. Even better. Even better. Welcome to the Backpack Show, where we will take our best efforts to deliver your food orders on time. Oh, my gosh. Paul's here. Coach Woodard is here. Hey, everybody. I'll push buttons.
Hey, those are my buttons. What, you can't read them. No one can read that fast.
No, you go ahead.
Say hello.
Hello, my biological father, Steve Brogan, and his wife, Diane Brogan.
You're also known as your mother.
Sometimes hello, my everyone. Mom. Welcome to the Backpack Show. We've got one guest today, the original guest that we had intended even. Wow. Chef Maria Ibrahim is here, and she runs eatcleaner.com. We're going to talk all about food, fitness, fancy stuff, fun, delicious eating, something the dark side.
No. She's a legitimate expert on eating. She's also the author of the book, Eat Like You Give a Fork, The Real Dish to Eating to on Eating to Thrive. And she's the host of the Recipes for Your Best Life podcast.
And one of the signature chefs on the Daniel Plan. So if you've ever heard of the Daniel Plan, she's one of the people who makes actually useful things to eat on that show.
So she knows things.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gargone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Chip says, good morning. I am an expert on eating. Chip. And I have lots of practice.
A pro eater.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Leslie. Hi, Carol. You guys are my workout buddies today. Well, wait till you see what Chef Maria's got for you. Because as you're working on your workout, and every time you and I talk, what do I say, Carol? It's 80% food. It's 80% food. It's 80% food. Chef Maria's going to make that truer. Hey, Elizabeth, good to see you.
Every all once right. in a while, we should be like, come on, Carol, pick it up. Like, just
yeah, exactly. But like those Peloton DJs or whatever.
Peloton. Do 10 get more.
It, get it up in the back there, Cheryl. Oh, it's Carol. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, I thought you were talking to her friend, Cheryl. I don't know.
You know what I'm doing is like the whole experience, the DJ reading the name wrong and everything like that.
Welcome to the Backpack Show, where we bring you insights about success from unusual places and also criticize your workout.
Yes. And we have reporting today. Famous author, sports author, Len Joy is getting his teeth handled at the dentist. He's at the dentist right now.
My son's at the dentist. What a coincidence.
He's with Len. So pay attention because, listen, you can get Len Joy's book, American Pastime, this week. We got it as high as number 3 yesterday. If you gave $5, that's how much this book costs if you buy the digital copy. cbrogan.me/LenJoy. Buy this book right now. Think about it. He's going to be at the dentist. He's going to be having his teeth cleaned. Worst day of his life. He's going to come back and find out his book is number 1.
You know what? It's a fantastic book. It's not. You're saying that like, hey, do Len a favor. It's a really excellent book. I have a couple of his books and I keep them on my shelf and read them again. That's how much I like them.
So we're going to get to Chef Maria in 35 seconds. But first, hey, StreamYard sponsors this show. So cbrogan.me/StreamYard, you really need to spend some time at StreamYard because you can make a cool show. Chef Maria uses it. Why wouldn't you?
Find your own celebrity chef.
Exactly. And if you don't like my face, get a podcast version. It's audio. It's great. You could drive around. You could be on an exercise bike listening, not watching. And we're hosted by Castos. Castos.com, where you can put your podcast to work. I have two more. Do I? I have two more. PubSite authors. You can write your website on PubSite. Hey, it's a smaller Gorgone. Boop. Hey, how
he's
are
going
you?
Going to the dentist.
Yeah.
Oh, see you later. Come back with the same amount of teeth.
I love you.
I'm going to always interrupt that. I want to see kids. What, everybody here read it? I'm going to have to find some new people to be part of the Backpack Show.
You know what? Gift it.
I'm grabbing Chef Maria.
Gift it
right
to
now.
A friend.
We're going to ask some questions. All right. Big sip of coffee. Ready, go. All right. Chef Maria, how are you?
Great.
Got glad to have you here. Man.
It's early here still.
I know. California is the place you ought to be. That's what they said to Jet anyway. Maybe they were right. Eat Cleaner is the big thing that you've been working on lately.
Yeah.
Even though you've done everything in the world, run all the restaurants, made all the foods, created all the recipes. What's this all about? What are we doing?
So for me, Eating Cleaner has really been a journey of discovery of who I am, It's so much deeper than food. You know, I think as human beings, as omnivores, we have so much choice, and we get to the point where we kind of lose sight of what food is supposed to do for us from a health perspective, because the pleasure part of it really takes the lead, right? Of course, that makes sense. But I kind of lost myself, and I lost really what I believe was my ability to thrive, because I was just not healthy. I had a really bad relationship with food, and I had to kind of find a happy place, because you got to eat. We got to eat to survive. So that's really what put me on this path. And over the past 25 years in the food world, I've really dedicated myself to what is the perfect balance. You know, how do you achieve health and feel like you're thriving and still allow yourself to be human with the indulgences that we all really need every once in a while, actually pretty frequently. And that's what led me to Eat Cleaner.
Well, there's so many people excited. Leanne Tucker Anderson's here. Dean
says, given my COVID weight gain, does anyone have a good recipe for making air tasty? It's my last resort. I think it's called popcorn.
It's mostly air. That's really the thing with the approach that I take with food, is that most people think that it's arduous. They think that eating this way means sacrifice. They think that, oh my gosh, you know, you're going to take my cookie and you're going to make it this, that, and the other. No, no, don't mess with it. Well, but you can make things just as good with some thoughtfulness behind it. And actually, a lot of what I do is really time cutting. So the recipes that you find are still delicious. I have just did a one sheet pan paella that came out fabulous. But you know, the hacks are like, instead of regular rice, we use cauliflower rice. And instead of chorizo, full fat chorizo, we use a leaner chicken sausage. Still delicious, still comes out amazing. It's just about, you know, good quality ingredients and lots of produce and lots of seasonings. So I think, you know, the exploration of great food can really be a fun journey. And then with that, I created a line of products with my dad called Eat Cleaner. And that helps you enjoy cleaner, safer, longer lasting fresh foods. So
with your dad, my dad introduced me to Devil Dogs.
Well, truth be told, my dad has a serious sweet tooth, but he also loves a good salad. And when he got cancer and was told to avoid raw food, we thought, well, we better fix this, because how's he going to eat a salad? Don't want to be cooking your romaine. So that's really where the motivation for Eat Cleaner came into play. And, you know, now I think more than ever, we've survived, or we are still surviving, a time where viruses have kind of taken over our existence. And we have known for many, many years that bacteria and pesticides and viruses and all kinds of contaminants can wreak havoc on your health. And you don't want those on your food. And rinsing with water certainly isn't going to cut it.
Yeah. So you said, are we going to talk about my products? So I was like, yeah, sure. You know, like in that sort of way that you're a host, you're like, okay, that's what we'll talk about. Sure. But then I looked at the product, and I feel like such a crappy infomercial right now, but people who've known me for more than two episodes will know that I'm not that guy, but I'm watching it scroll by on the screen, and I'm looking at, you know, your broccoli versus Eat Cleaner broccoli. And I'm looking at, you know, that versus, you know, the mushrooms on the left versus the mushrooms on the right, the beet. And I want to get it all the way back around to the grapes, because that was the one that kind of got me. There's grapes in my fridge right now, and I do not have Eat Cleaner. But boy, what's the difference? What are you doing? See, look at those grapes.
What are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, think about it. And I think, you know, anybody that's had a facial or a mask done knows the merit of that. You know, you've got impurities in your skin and you're pulling them out. Well, we're doing the same thing with Eat Cleaner. And, you know, I think when you look at the statistics, about 48 million people in the United States alone every year get foodborne illness. And of them, about 125,000 are hospitalized, and over 3,000 will die from foodborne illness. And when I say foodborne illness, I mean E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, Those are the top three, but so many other foodborne pathogens. And I don't think we ever really stop to think about that when we sit down and eat or we cook food. But as chefs, it's the number one thing we're trained in. So, you know, before you ever put your hands on food, you're doing food safety and food handling. And so I really took that, you know, understanding and experience from being in a commercial kitchen to the home chef. And I'll tell you, even, you know, even nowadays, I think in the world of commercial cooking, there's a lot of options for how you treat your food. And the people that really understand the impact of food safety will take those extra measures, but not everybody. So you have to be diligent in asking the questions, you know, how are you washing your produce? You know, if you're eating salads and lots of fresh juices that are uncooked, there's no kill step. Think about that. You know, that food that came from the ground that's been covered in manure and fertilizers or pooped on by birds or run over by rodents is just getting a casual rinse in the sink. That's gross. So, you know, when you really start to think about it, there hasn't been a lot of attention placed on that. But in our effort to try and eat better and eat more clean whole foods, we're actually putting ourselves in more jeopardy if we don't handle the foods properly.
Carol's got a question about intermittent fasting. So this is less about like what you're eating and when you're, it's more about when you're eating. So
yes. Yeah. I talk about intermittent fasting in my book, actually. There's quite a bit of scientific data that really supports the merits of intermittent fasting. And I think, you know, it looks a little bit different for everybody, whether you're doing, you know, on, you know, 16 hours of fasting and then 8 hours of eating, or you're kind of breaking that up in different ways. I do encourage dedicating at least 2 to 3 days a week to intermittent fast with that 8-16 pattern. If your last meal of the day is, you know, 6 o'clock at night, try and fast until 10 o'clock the next day. And you will find 10, 11, you will find that just by giving your digestion a break, you're giving your body a chance to reset. Digestion is actually really hard on the body. It requires a lot of energy and it even requires calorie expenditure. So giving yourself a chance to just rest is a really good thing. And during those times, I suggest that people eat more plant-based so that you do actually give yourself a chance to kind of push the toxins out and reset on a regular basis. I don't think it helps to beat your body up, you know, continuously and then, you know, do a cleanse once a year. That isn't quite going to catch your body up.
But for people who are doing, like, the food is your career, it's your life, it's what you do. For other people, they're fitting it in around all the other things that they do that have nothing to do with food. And yet the way they're eating can, you know, help fuel their success or undermine it. So is this workable, like for people who are working in an office when the offices are back or at home with kids that eat only beige food like chicken nuggets?
Yeah, boy, that's a double question. So for the people who are back at work and kind of back into the grind, so to speak, maybe you are in an office, you know, I think it's about setting yourself up for success. I talk a lot about meal prep and how you strategize for the week. If you are set up for success, I always say plan to fail or fail to plan to fail. You know, if you don't get your snacks ready, you don't have, you know, your almonds and your apple next to you for something to snack on, you don't have a strategy when you go home to eat, like, it's tough. You know, you're going to end up in the fast food line or you're going to just be hangry. And that's not a good place to be either. We don't want to have low blood sugar because we won't be productive and everybody will be pissed off around us because we won't be nice people. So just taking some time to plan your list, and we give you a shopping list in the book to go to the store with or shop online with. The great thing is you can get so many things delivered to you now. and you do some food assembly. You get a couple of proteins cooked off, like that gorgeous chicken breast or chicken thighs or some chicken sausage. Or if you don't eat meat, you can do tempeh, which is a whole soybean fermented product.
Did you say sausage?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get some coupons. Of those proteins cooked off. You get your good fats. What do you have? I can't
speak. I have many coupons for Johnsonville sausage.
We were sponsored for several months by Johnsonville sausage. So boy, do we have sausage.
So if anybody would like some coupons for free Johnsonville sausage, email me, carrie@chrisbrogan.com.
That was the magic word.
It was like Pee Wee Herman, like the things came down.
Getting your produce washed and getting a couple of grains cooked off and then having your, you know, avocado and nuts and seeds to add good fats. Like, it's just, then it becomes assembly. And, you know, I think if you take the kind of the weight of it, so to speak, off your shoulders and really put it into a process, and then that process becomes a ritual, that's when change happens. That's when I say you make shift happen. And rituals are really kind of like my thing this year, because we are creatures of habit. And if we can create a habit where on a Sunday or a Monday, we've gone shopping, we get those ingredients prepped. If I open my refrigerator now, I would show you I've got my lettuces washed and I've got my, you know, cucumbers chopped up and I've got some baby carrots there with some hummus that the kids can grab because we have 5 kids. So there's a lot of stuff going on in our house with Zooms and school and work, but there's stuff to grab. You know, there's simple things to pull out and assemble into a meal. And I think those strategies are really what set people up for success.
So Kate had a question and it comes in a little bit of a lengthy comment. And so it might like squish you or hide you. So I apologize in advance. Yeah, I did a little like Mike Wazowski. I'm a pescatarian and I eat a ton of veggies. I notice that frozen fruits and vegetables taste and look a lot better than the ones sold in the produce department. Are flash frozen fruits and veggies inherently more nutritious and or contain fewer chemicals?
Kate, that's a great question. I do a trend report every year on the food industry. And one of my big trends was about frozen foods and how they're really kind of like maturing, I would say, or growing up in terms of the category. There are so many great options in the frozen food aisle. Don't give it the cold shoulder.
See what you did there?
So what happens when frozen fruits and vegetables are picked and processed for packaging is they're picked at the peak of ripeness. And so they can actually be better. They can actually be more nutritious because of the way that they are picked and frozen. They're kind of like frozen in process, so to speak. So I think it's a great option for people to lean into. There are a lot of organic options. There are a lot of, you know, free range, grass-fed, grass-finished beef options out there. Same with free range poultry. You know, you're seeing a lot more creative approaches to frozen foods now where you can get more, you know, world kitchen influence, you know, foods from around the world in the frozen food section. I say lean in, you know, I really do like frozen foods as a place for people to go to as not just like the second option if I don't have foods in the you know, in my fridge, but really lean into that as a place for convenience because it can help speed up the process of making good quality meals too.
Carol had a clarifying question about fasting. Not even coffee?
Well, you can have black coffee. So I think, you know, the idea is that you're not doing anything to your body which requires a digestive action. So you can do black coffee. You can do like a clear, I say do a clear broth. You know, you can do a veggie broth. I have a drink that is in the book. It's called the Real Vitality Tonic, and it's raw apple cider vinegar. And it's got cinnamon in it and it's got some ginger in it. You know, a little bit of that I think is fine. It's just a matter of, you don't want to put anything like really taxing on your body that will require a digestive action.
That's the big button on the intermittent fasting thing, is if you've turned, you know, turned back on the, okay, I guess I'm eating again button, then that's the challenge, I guess. It's not everything. It's just that you, you don't want to turn that engine back on, I guess, is right. What people say.
Chip, you don't need espresso all day.
That's and, how it is. Yeah, answer.
Well, it's an interesting thing, right? I think we naturally, I mean, I'm drinking a cup of coffee right now, but my coffee has, you know, I'm not intermittent fasting right at this moment. So mine has collagen in it, and that's a protein. So my body is going to say, oh, I'm going to use the protein. But for me, I will do this, and then this gives me some energy so that I probably will eat in a couple of hours. So you can use different things as strategies for maybe avoiding like an actual food item. And again, this kind of gives your body a break too. I think there's a way to modify it for people who really have a hard time going, you know, that long stretch without anything. Is that scientifically proven? I don't know, but again, it's more about giving your body the big metabolic break versus feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't get through it, so I'm going to stress about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Bob, stop encouraging him. Goodness gracious. Chip does not need any coffee. Stop it.
Yes, he does. Chip, stay with us.
Doesn't.
I need you.
Leslie's doing meal prep. She says it keeps her away from the office chocolate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the offices, and I've done a lot of health coaching with offices because think about it. There's the donuts, and then there's often the snack bar where they're stocking it with stuff that people can just take. There's, you know, birthdays and cakes and all of that stuff. And by all means, again, I really believe in the 90-10 rule. If it's a 10% kind of day and you want a piece of cake, take a little piece of cake, you know, not the whole cake, but take a little piece of the cake. But if you're trying to stay disciplined because you know that sugar is a trigger for you, and if you have that sugar, you're going to have a hard time getting off the sugar wheel, then having the snacks already there for you are going to be a great deflection. And that's where individuals knowing what their triggers are really important. I personally, I mean, I'm a small person. I'm 5 foot on a good day, you know, and I have a really high metabolism. If I don't have a snack and I'm eating every few hours, I can feel like that person. So I just have the emergency snack. It's kind of like open when distressed kind of thing. And that way I avoid reaching for something else that probably won't serve me.
Nancy said a little while back that she just went through this 2-week sugar cleanse where she didn't eat any processed sugars or whatnot. And I thought that was kind of interesting. One of the things I was really excited about when I looked through your whole Instagram, because it sort of matches my dietary plan. And what do we all want? We all really want someone who's doing something healthy. We want to look and go, oh, I'm eating that. So berries, you have so many berries, and I have all of those berries. Every single one of those berries in my fridge right now. What I don't have is that delicious ring around them. So I think I need to get some of that.
Yeah, that's a date and cocoa fudge. And it's raw and it's vegan and it's so good. And here's the thing. So when I set out to write my book, you know, I had contributed to the Daniel Plan. I had self-published a book called The Clean Eating Handbook, which is 31 essential rules for health, wellness, and a fabulously fit life, which leads to wealth, by the way. I'll talk about that with you guys, because I really believe that getting your food house in order is the key to thriving and getting your dreams. But when I wrote the book, I was like, okay, I have to teach people how to like this food, because if they're not used to eating greens, you know, putting a plate of Brussels sprouts in front of them might just cause them to want to go over the edge, you know? So how do you acclimate people to pull the refined processed foods out of their diet and then adopt this cleaner eating lifestyle? And so it's really about a taste bud reset. And physiologically, you know, if you stick your tongue out, you have your salty and your sweet taste buds right there on the tip of your tongue. They're the first thing to taste. They want to be appeased, right? So when we recondition our taste buds to crave sour and umami, and bitter foods, then we retrain our bodies to crave the foods that are better for us. So you want to eat those greens. You want to eat things like mushrooms and tomatoes and even, you know, just chicken like you're looking at right now. You want to eat the probiotic rich foods, which lend themselves to better gut health, which 70 to 80% of your immunity is in your gut. So if you're feeding your gut health well, which sugar is the antithesis of that, sugar completely disrupts your gut, then you are already training yourself to eat the foods that are better for you. So you got to take some things out of your wardrobe in order to put the good things in. And I will tell you that in 8 days, not eating refined sugars and stuff, you will eat differently. You will crave differently. And when you have that little bite of that date fudge little heart, a little bite will kind of do ya. You know, you're not gonna be able to stomach something that's super, super sweet because you've now reconditioned your taste buds and rewired your brain to crave differently.
So that's we had a comment earlier that was saying, you know, hey, life's too short. I'm going to be happy and just eat the junk. But you're saying you recondition yourself and then you are happy eating the healthier foods and you can still occasionally have the other things.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I'm not saying that this person's wrong. I'm just saying that is kind of the association that we've had with this idea of eating this way. But I guarantee you that if you eat to thrive, you will be a happier person all around because number one, you're feeding your body at the cellular level. And remember, food is information. You can't burn information off. So if you're like, I'm just going to eat the 3 donuts that are here at the office and then I'm going to go work out for an extra hour at the gym, it doesn't work that way. Your body's already registered it. So it's already said that deep fried, you know, carbohydrate that has no benefit whatsoever is destructive to me. Okay. Doing it once every once in a while is not going to be a problem, but it's just like any habit. If you do it regularly, yes, it will compound. So if you think about it that way, food is information. The more information I feed my body that's beneficial, that says, hey, I want to live longer. I'm going to eat more antioxidants. I'm going to feed my body good quality protein because the higher up the food chain I go, the more important it is that I eat clean meat and foods that are eating cleaner foods. Your body's going to feel better. It's going to work better. You're not going to feel sluggish. You're not going to feel tired. You're not going to get to the middle of the day and go, dang, I don't know. I'm going to need that espresso all day just to make it through the day. Like that all lifts. And doesn't that make us all happier when we function better? It's like the car that you're giving good fuel, when it runs well, doesn't make all those sounds. It doesn't, you know, sound like it's going to break down. And I know that sounds like a simplistic analogy, but we really are a finely tuned vehicle. And when we take care of our bodies, it takes care of you. I mean, I've met people who are in their 70s, 80s, 90s that have more energy and more vibrance than people that are in their 20s and 30s. Like, what do you attribute that to? It's a lifestyle. It's not just a quick fix here and there. And I think you can still eat the cake, you know, you can still have the cookie, you can still have the wine, but what are you doing 90% of the time, you know?
Yogurt and berries, good for the gut.
Okay, let's talk about that. So berries are actually a great choice because they're low glycemic index, so they don't spike your blood sugar. And the goal really is keeping your body in homeostasis, you know? How balanced can you be? Balance is great. So it won't spike your blood sugar. So berries are a great option. And just choose the yogurt that doesn't have sugar added to it. Go plain. Plain is good. Enjoy the sour tanginess of a plain Greek yogurt. You will discover something really unique when you embrace that.
It really changes. I was going to say also. Yep. The sour thing, once you get to really liking that, that replaces sour cream, which when you start, you know, when you eat enough of it, you know, it's like when people try to tell vegans that you could find things that replace bacon. Nothing replaces bacon. But boy, you can really get a lot further eating some plain Greek yogurt without sweetener in it, you know, for a long time. You know, it's interesting. I was watching these questions roll in really fast. I was thinking, oh my gosh, do you ever just like go, oh wait, like I totally don't want to talk about this today. Do you ever just like, like I got to do something totally different? Or do you wake up every day just like, nope, I'm still in this. I still need to tell people the 101 because every day someone's new to it.
I think, you know, the 101 is really important because the basis of this, if there's one thing that people walk away from today going, okay, I can implement this. I start with one baby step, and that is add a green something to every meal. Okay. And when I say green something, let me clarify, because people might be like, oh, I see what she's saying. No, that's not what it is. So add a green leafy something or an avocado, for example. So the morning, it could be adding spinach to your smoothie. Okay. It could be adding avocado to your eggs. It could be adding, you know, some sort of green to your oatmeal. You know, you can sprinkle green powder onto your oatmeal and you barely will taste it, but your body will register it. Your taste buds will understand that they're experiencing something that has that bitterness. Remember, we just want our bodies to like bitterness because the more we crave it, the more we crave better for you foods. So add something green to every meal. I think we can do that. And I know there's a lot of jokes out there about kale. You know, look, kale is super nutritious. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. There's so many other greens that accomplish the same thing. And the beautiful thing is we have a lot of choice. So if you can start to appreciate the benefit of something green, it will change your life. And then drink a lot of water. Those are two things. I said one thing, but two things that if you did that today, you will experience a huge shift in just about 8 days of doing that practice. And I think that's a simple place to start. And then you can layer other practices onto that. But, you know, I'd be lying to you guys if I said there were days that I didn't want pasta. Of course I love pasta. I lived in Italy for, you know, a while in college. I'm Middle Eastern. We like our grains. We like our starches. But do I do that every day? No, because I know how I'll feel. And I think that's really the big X factor here is if you've ever struggled with your health, like I have, or you've eaten something where you're just like, I feel like crap, you know, I'm going to bed. You don't want to feel that way. So you naturally want to avoid the things that put you in jeopardy. I think that's human nature, right? That's the body. If you have an allergy to something or you have an intolerance, that's your body telling you danger. You don't want to be here because it's causing inflammation. Inflammation is what causes most of the chronic diseases nowadays. I know that at 52 years old, if I eat that way every day, I'm probably not going to enjoy my years as I mature and progress in my age. I want to stay vibrant and energetic. So that's my motivation and my why. And I think that needs to be everybody's why, is what's your personal motivation?
I have another question really quickly. Any tips for the early stages when you're first cutting out sugar, where you just really want Nutella?
Yeah, definitely. Well, okay, so what is craving sugar? Well, part of that is your body just being used to something, right? So the replacement is, how do I swap one thing out for the other? If Nutella is on the table, then maybe I swap that out for that half cup of berries. You know, berries are going to give you that natural sweetness. Same thing with a few dates. You know, dates are really a superfood because they are sugar, but they don't spike your blood sugar. So there's a difference there. And they're full of fiber. So if you like the flavor of dates, have a few dates. You'll get that sweetness, but the fiber will help you feel fuller faster. And then also another thing that your body does when it wants quick sugar is it means you're not necessarily balanced in terms of protein and fat. fat is a huge way to satiate your body. Nuts, seeds, avocado, things like that. You know, you can lean into that as, I call them fat fillers. You can lean into that as a way to satiate yourself. So have an apple, which again is low glycemic, with some nut butter. If you are allergic to nuts, you can do sunflower butter. I do a date butter where I blend sunflower butter with dates, and you get this creamy, gorgeous spread that's kind of like Nutella, funny enough. And you can do a little bit of that on your apple. So there are ways to still give you that sweetness, but again, it's serving a purpose versus just like a bunch of processed sugar or corn syrup or, you know, the stuff that's cheap that, yeah, it gives you that sugar buzz, but it's not really benefiting you. You can still have the sweetness, but in something beneficial.
And you said this earlier, and I just want to kind of, you said, I think around 8 days. For me, it might have been even a little longer, it felt like. But there, it's a switch. The switch turns, and no one believes it if they haven't tried it. Or if you're cheating a little, or if you're like still having artificial sweeteners, like, you know, you have your Diet Coke, and you're like, I don't know, I still seem to crave sweetness. Well, it's because you're still eating a sweetener, you fool. But like, yeah, when you finally break that and do the 8 or 9 days, then on that other side, you go, oh, and then everything's different. And it's, I guess it's hard for people to understand that. It feels in a weird way, like, because of your connection with the Daniel plan, I was thinking about this. It's like faith in some weird ways. It's like you have to have some faith that if you go to that many days of trying this new way without any real sugars, there's so many other plans that kind of poke at this. Whole 30 pokes at this. There's a lot of others that are like, you know, hey, sugar's bad. If enough people say sugar's bad and you still get it, but you're just saying, well, except that I can't seem to do it, you're saying, well, maybe you could do it. Maybe there are some ways.
I think, you know, it is, you're absolutely right. It's a muscle. And when you exercise, it's kind of like, I mean, you would never go into the gym and just like try and bench 250 pounds. You'd kill yourself, right? So, you know, easing into this and giving yourself some grace. I really do believe that we can be very hard on ourselves. And I want people to feel when they go through this, that they're giving themselves some grace, because shifting a lifestyle is different. You know, I have a big family, and I have a lot of sons in my family that can eat anything. Okay. Their metabolism is like ridiculous, and they tease me a lot. Okay. Cause my son, like, well, he loves bagels, and I will buy bagels for him because he's 15 and he burns like crazy and he likes them. It's okay. But I have no interest in eating them. Had you asked me that 25 years ago, I'd be like, no bagels in the house. I can't have them in here. They are way too tempting. If I have them in here, I will eat them, and they are not good for my gut. They're one of my triggers. But it took me some time to get here. And so, you know, give yourself grace and time to go through it. 8 days is when the switch turns on, but certainly keep going. You know, it may take you 20 days. I mean, they say to form a habit takes 30 days, but I really picked 8 days because physiologically you start to turn over taste buds in that amount of time. And by 2 weeks, you can literally transform your taste buds. So it gets you down the road where you're seeing progression. And I think an 8 day investment for some people sounds a lot better than 14 days for some reason. I don't know why.
Dean says, I'm totally with you, but I can't see a life without pizza. Can we settle on moderation?
Okay, I'm with you. I am so with you. Again, I really want people to embrace this idea that there is no food that I am saying that you can't have. You can just make it better. So pizza, I lived in Italy. I am an Italian food. I'm even like doing this like an Italian, like not imagine my life without pasta, without pizza. Like that would not be living to me. But I've figured out a way to make pizza for my lifestyle that I can stomach, that does not create any sacrifice. And that is the gift of a cauliflower crust. Okay. It really is damn good. And you can do a really nice, rich tomato sauce on there. Actually, tomatoes are very good for you. And when you cook tomatoes, you increase the antioxidant quotient of those. You can even add greens. I have a great sauce where I actually blend kale and spinach into the sauce, and it's incorporated in, so it's not like you're tasting chunks of it, because I have a son who's very texture averse. So you're blending those in, you're blending peppers and onions and garlic and all the yummy stuff into the sauce. And then you can layer it with the things that are good for your health too. We love artichoke hearts, olives, we'll do capers, we'll do anchovies. I'm an anchovy fan. We'll do-
You can have mine.
I can have your, I'll take the double anchovy, white anchovies. Oh, my love language. And do a crown of arugula on top. You can do a beautiful truffle oil, like make it gourmet, make it awesome, but start with a good base and don't load it up with a bunch of cheese and a bunch of, you know, pepperoni that's processed. Like you can do the clean stuff. And for those who are vegan, you know, endless opportunities to make food better now because products are getting better. And even, you know, I will caution by saying, you know, if you are dietarily restricted, you don't eat certain food groups, just really make sure you evaluate the package, because just because it's a vegan option doesn't mean it's a better option. Just because it's gluten-free doesn't mean it's better. I think we need to get out of that mindset of like, oh, I'm vegan, therefore I'm healthier. Well, no, I've met a lot of vegans who are not healthy. And I'm not bashing right now. I'm just saying category does not equate to health. What I really want to look at is what are you filling your plate with? And you can have a lot of processed soy-based, you know, genetically modified vegan food, and that's not going to be a better choice either. So become educated in what's on the label. And I do dive into that in the book and on our website. So we're here to help.
Right. If you swing by eatcleaner.com, we can answer a lot of these questions that are popping through at the last thing. You can pick up the book Eat Like You Give a Fork, which is an incredible book. Definitely worth digging into. There's a lot of things in there, not just the recipes, but the way you should be thinking about it behind the scenes and get that all handled. So the last few things we need to do is we need to pick a person of the day. So I get to do
that. Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
And by the way, you know, when you say that about vegans don't necessarily eat healthier, I always think about the one detail. This to me is sort of like religion. Like it's not always, you know, not everything's not always something because it's something else. And Oreos are vegan. So, you know,
there you go.
Oreos are vegan. That's all I have to say vegan isn't necessarily great.
I had that happen with my son. We were in the grocery store many years ago and he was like, Mom, there's Oreos right there. And we were in a store that is supposed to be all healthy. And I was like, see, this is exactly why we can't just allow this idea of a label to then indicate health, because that's right. Further from the truth.
Look what Kate said too. Kate said, you know, my dad was a vegan who ate French fries and iceberg lettuce for dinner. He was a disaster. So yeah, I get it. All right. I'm going to do person of the day. I am going to do Carol because she had a lot of direct specific questions. And the answer is no, not a lot of starchy vegetables like potato, maybe sweet potato sometimes.
Yeah. You know that, can I answer that question?
Briefly.
Okay. Potatoes. I think potatoes get a really bad rap because again, we want to put all potatoes into the same category. If you prioritize like blue potatoes and red potatoes, which have anthocyanins, which are an incredible class of antioxidants, scavengers in the body that eat the bad stuff. Yes, you can have those. Just not every day.
Good answer. I'm into it. All right. We are now to the backpack question. Oh, I didn't even have it in front of me anymore. That's such a pity. So the backpack question is basically that we ask the question to every single one of our guests, which is what is something you'd want to put in the backpack? Life is crazy, shifting sands. We never know. And there's all kinds of things that could go wrong in the future. So what are we going to do about it? And you can add either something physical or you can add something metaphorical. And so some people have said something like somebody said an avocado, which by the way, just one little detail is that you sell Avo Fresh, So if I want to keep my avocados green and not brown for a little longer, even after 7 days, I could buy AvaFresh organic anti-browning powder.
Yeah.
So there you go. So it could be an avocado, or it could be something metaphorical like hope. So Carrie, what's a good physical example for Chef Maria?
I've been saying extra set of teeth because I think it's so funny, but people have said everything from assistive technology. Like we had a deaf author on that said she had to have her phone like for transcription. So it could be a very practical thing like that. A journal. Some people will allow them two things if it's a journal because you can't use a journal without a pen, stuff like that. I also like fearlessness, vulnerability for metaphorical answers, things like that.
Yeah. Wow. This is like, there's so many things that come to mind. But I'm going to shameless plug right now because I really do travel with this product and I take it with me everywhere. We make wipes. These are wipes for not only cleansing your food, which I would like to have an apple with me too. I keep cool, but like I don't want my blood sugar to plummet. So this is like the perfect package of a snack. And then our wipes are a great way to not only cleanse produce, but to clean your hands, clean your mouth, clean utensils, clean your face. I use them at night, to remove my makeup. And, you know, if you're on the road and you got a backpack on, like you want to be able to cleanse things. So I would take the wipes and an apple if I could.
Wipes and an apple. I think we can deal with that. We can make that happen. It's fun to see, you know, all of these things going together. Thank you for being on the show, especially given all the things you do, all the TV and all the other appearances you do. Thanks for getting up so darn early.
Oh, thank you guys. This has been fun.
I was thinking a lot about the fact that my grandmother, I just realized I didn't even talk about this part of the show. My grandmother was quite a cook. And as time went on and as she was perpetually on a diet, she would always try to show us something healthy. And I'll tell you, in the 80s, one of the weirdest things that people thought was healthy